Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Professor John Riley, who's Professor of Physical Activity and Public Health Science at the University of Strathclyde. And over the next 15 to 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about the 2016 Active Healthy Kids Scotland report card. So welcome to Radio Edutalk, John.
Hello, David.
To start off with, I wonder if you could give listeners a brief background to your career in public health and education.
Yes, well, I've been working in the field now as a researcher, as an academic, first at Glasgow University and then more recently at University of Strathclyde in Glasgow for actually over 20 years. It seems hard for me to believe that it's not something I think about very often, but it is over 20 years now, largely working in the field of physical activity in children and obesity in children, so the causes of those things, causes of low physical activity, causes of obesity, some of the consequences of those things, the health consequences, the educational consequences, and looking more to research which might guide us towards interventions, you know, ways of preventing low physical activity in children, ways of preventing obesity, and then potentially ways of treating obesity as well. So a fairly wide range of research projects over the past probably nearly 25 years now, but mostly focusing on concerns about low levels of activity in children and concerns about the increasing prevalence of obesity in children.
And as I understand it, John, this is the second Active Healthy Kids Scotland report card. So could you give us a bit of background about who's behind the report card in terms of organisations and authors, how it first came about, and maybe start by then going to tell us about how the kind of research behind the report card is done?
Yes, so the first Active Healthy Kids Scotland report card was published in 2013. And we just published the second one, 2016, and the aim in future is to publish every 2 years. And the people behind it, essentially, it's myself and a small working group of researchers at the University of Strathclyde and the University of Aberdeen. And then we have a wider group, a steering group, and a group of stakeholders who work really across different sectors in Scotland, academia and non-academic sectors as well, really almost anyone you might imagine who might have an interest in physical activity and health of children. The reason we started the card in 2013 really was inspired by the Active Healthy Kids Canada report card, which in 2013 had been going for about 8 or 9 years. And in Canada, they'd been publishing this every year. And in fact, they're still publishing every year, so they've got to about card number 12 in Canada now. So I first saw the Canada card around about 2011, 2012 at a conference, and really thought we must have this sort of thing in Scotland. It seemed incredibly useful. So what the Canada card was and what the Scotland cards are now really are reports of the state of the nation. They're where we are in terms of physical activity and health of children and adolescents. And as we continue to publish them, they give us an indication of whether or not the state of the nation is getting better or worse, you know, how much better or worse it's getting and in which areas and in which population subgroups. You know, for example, is it, are things only getting better in boys or girls, or only in higher socioeconomic classes and not in lower socioeconomic classes, and so on. So really it's very much based on the Canadian report card model, using the same methods as the Canadian report card. And in terms of the funders, we've been funded by non-commercial sources. So the first card in 2013 was funded by a charity, and then the second card in 2016 also supported by charities. In fact, two charities in 2016, that's Inspiring Scotland and the Robertson Trust this year. So charities really with an interest in a variety of things in improving public policy in the case of this year's charities. So the Robertson Trust is very keen on making public policy more evidence-based. And Inspiring Scotland, the other funder of this year's report card, is very interested in promoting play, promoting physical activity through play.
So I'm sure listeners will be really keen to hear how the report card shapes up. So my understanding is it's a kind of common or old style report card with grades and pluses and minuses and such like. So maybe talk around, you know, a bit more about how the card is laid out, John. But I'm sure, as I say, we'll all be keen to hear about the 10 scores.
Yeah, so we have the 10 indicators, so 10 different, seven different behaviours, seven different health behaviours, and three factors that influence those health behaviours, giving us the 10 indicators in total. And you're quite right, it's laid out like a very old-fashioned report card. In fact, I'm feeling slightly uneasy now, thinking that I may be broadcasting to an audience of educators, and I've got such an old-fashioned format report card, but that's what we use. So we have these 10 indicators, and then what we do is we grade them A to F, obviously A being better and F being worse. And if there isn't sufficient evidence to really grade the indicators, so we just don't have the data, for example, for Scotland, then that doesn't get an A to F grade, that gets an incomplete grade. So we just flag that up and say that, you know, this is an important bit of information, but it's something which we just don't know about in Scotland. So 10 indicators, and each of those, the intention is to grade them ideally on an A to F scale. And the way it runs, it's the same for all 10 indicators. So grade A means we are succeeding with a large majority of children and adolescents, over 80%. And then it's just in 20% intervals down to F. So an F grade means we are succeeding with very few children and adolescents, so 0 to 19%. And when we say succeeding, generally what we mean for most of these indicators is the percentage of the child or adolescent population meeting a recommendation. So, for example, the recommendation for the amount of physical activity that they would do every day. So there would be an A grade if 80% or more of Scottish children and adolescents were meeting the recommendation, were doing sufficient levels of activity or exercise. That would be an A grade. If it was below 20%, that would be an F grade. So that's the layout. It's intended to be reasonably clear, reasonably simple. And the way we derive the grades for each of the indicators, before I go on to talk about the individual indicators themselves, is that we're quite critical. So we, first of all, look for what evidence we have in Scotland. Again, just following the Canadian model. We look for what evidence is out there. We search the evidence as best we can. We use our stakeholder group to try to find evidence that we'd missed or weren't aware of. So we look as hard as we can at what's out there. We then take that evidence. So, for example, we might have four or five different sources of evidence for any one of the indicators. And we look at each of those four or five in turn, and we just say, is it good enough to base a grade on? Is it really useful information or not? And by useful, what we mean is the source of the evidence recent? So in this case of the 2016 report card, we ask ourselves, were the data published after the 2013 report card? So is the information recent? Secondly, has the information come from a representative sample? So, for example, national surveys in Scotland are representative. They're very good sources of data. And thirdly, is the source of information trustworthy? What I mean by that is that is there any evidence that the estimates of prevalence might be biased? So might the measures used in the data source or the survey be very incorrect? Might they overestimate what they think they're measuring, or might they underestimate what they think we're measuring? And we make those judgments using a combination of the expertise that we have in the team that puts together the report card, and also the scientific literature on those measurement methods used in the surveys. So we have the criteria that for any data source that we have in Scotland, if it's going to go into the report card and receive a grade, it has to meet the threshold for quality, it has to be recent, it has to be representative, and the measures used in that survey or research project have to be good.
Fascinating stuff, John, and I'm conscious that our time's moving on quite quickly here, so I don't know if you feel free to go through all 10 indicators, or maybe you'd like to pick out the ones that are maybe kind of most noticeable for in terms of yourself and the rest of the team.
Yeah, I think broadly the story of the report card this year, in fact all the grades in the 2016 Scottish report card were identical to the grades in the 2013 report card, and the story for both report cards so far has been much the same, and that is that if we look at the health behaviours, you know, the kind of lifestyles, the extent to which lifestyles of Scottish children and adolescents are healthy or unhealthy, in 2013 and in 2016, the picture looks pretty bleak, really. So the grades are generally low. We're generally looking at what would be regarded as fail grades for a number of the health behaviours graded F. So generally speaking, the picture in terms of lifestyle looks bad, but the picture in terms of the other three indicators, so the three indicators that are influences on those lifestyles, are not quite so bad. And this is actually true across the developed world. We found that in all the other countries producing report cards. So up until this year, we only had 14 countries producing these report cards. During the course of this year, certainly by the end of this year, we'll have 40 countries which have produced report cards in 2016. And we're seeing the same sort of picture. So what we're seeing is that the health behaviours of Scottish children and adolescents are really quite poor. And if there's time, I can talk about some of those in detail. But actually, the environment that you might regard as ways of determining those health behaviours really isn't as bad as we might have expected. So there's two main aspects of the environment that we've looked into with the report card. The first is national policy, strategies and investments. And those are actually pretty good. So we graded that B. So we have a number of very sensible policies and a number of strategies and targets and national government and local government investments in physical activity and health of children and adolescents. So in a sense, we're in a very good position in terms of the environment as far as policy goes. We also seem to be in maybe a surprisingly good position in terms of what we've called the indicator community in the built environment. So the local built environment, the physical environment, the facilities available in the community, the extent to which children and adolescents feel safe in their communities. That indicator we actually graded B as well, and I think that slightly surprised us in 2013 and surprised us again in 2016, and it may be a surprise to your listeners. So we have this picture in Scotland which is really much the same as in the rest of the developed world, in that the health behaviours of children are pretty bad. Children are much less active than they should be, for example, much less active than we'd recommend. But in general, it's like a paradox, really. You know, the environment looks relatively favourable for physical activity, but the levels of physical activity being done are really very low.
That's absolutely incredible to hear. I was going to ask, you know, but I suppose I'm jumping ahead of myself here, John, but, you know, how is the report card used then in terms of by government and policymakers? I mean, do they take this as a pat in the back, or, you know, is it I suppose some of the other grades will be pointing in different directions then in terms of what might happen next? So, I mean, anecdotally or you know, through various networks, can you say about how the report card is possibly being used by others?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of different uses. I must say, it's still relatively new, and many of the uses are more potential than actual so far. And if I go back to the Canadian example, now they're in year 12, so 12 report cards published there. I think it probably took a good 4 or 5 rounds of report cards before people really began to act on what was in those report cards. But there's various ways in which the information, I think, is being used and certainly could be used in the future. I think, firstly, it gives us a really good understanding of where we are. You know, it gives us a good picture of just how bad things are in the case of health behaviours, and possibly how good things are in terms of the environment for health behaviours. Secondly, I think we'd intend the card to be used as ways of identifying things that we're not doing, in particular things that we're not monitoring in Scotland. For example, one of the indicators in the card is the extent to which children and adolescents actively transport themselves to nursery or school. And we actually found this year, as in the previous report card, we had at least 4 different national surveys of that indicator. So we're putting a lot of effort into monitoring active transportation to school, which is an important health behaviour. But it seems odd that we put all that effort into active transportation to school and nursery, and yet there are other very important indicators, which we've highlighted in the card, where we're just not measuring the factors. So the main issue here, I think, would be active and outdoor play, which is actually the theme of the 2016 report card. We feel that active and outdoor play is a very neglected health behaviour, and neglected to the extent that we just don't monitor it properly in Scotland, although that's actually true in other countries as well. So one of the other uses of the card is just to say, what are we actually doing surveillance of in Scotland? You know, what are we doing national surveys of? What are we monitoring? And is that the right use of our national survey instruments, our monitoring instruments? And are there other behaviours or other factors that we should be measuring which we're not measuring? And we'd hope that certainly when it comes to national surveys, that in time will have some influence on those, but that takes a bit longer, partly because most of the national surveys are designed on 5-year cycles, so there's no opportunity to really influence the national surveys until it comes to the end of that 5-year cycle, and then you can make a representation to the survey body that certain things should change, for example, so that will take a wee bit longer.
I found that really interesting, John. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, I've spent most of this evening driving around the parts of West Fife and for kind of football-related activities for my family, but you know, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of young people out on a slightly chilly late summer's evening taking part in organised sports. So you know, I'm really heartened when I see this. But you're saying that there's no, you know, that's an incomplete grade for organised sport participation. I'm thinking that, is this just organisations not getting their heads together and coming up with some way of measuring, or as you say, is it just outside of the cycle, or is there a possibility in the near future to actually capture what I would say, you know, certainly my own experience is fantastic levels of outdoor activity.
So I think the two things really, so organised sport, we just felt there was no data set in Scotland that we could use to put into the report card, and that was the same as in 2013. The best thing we have, and we didn't really feel it was good enough to use, is Sport Scotland surveys of membership of sports clubs, which is a kind of proxy measure of the extent to which individual children or adolescents are involved in sport, because as you said, based on your experience tonight, you know, a lot of sport is organised and that's important, but a lot of it is also not so organised, and that's probably equally important. It may even be more important. I mean, I have two teenage boys and they spend a lot of the time playing sport, which is organised, but also playing a lot of sport which is not organised. They play a lot of football, some of which is organised and competitive and some of which is just, you know, kickabout. And it seems really that we're not measuring either of those sorts of sport participation at all well, certainly not adequately enough to make any judgment about whether or not enough sport is going on, either organised or not organised sport. And I think that may be surprising. I mean, I think you'll be aware, I'm sure, that we hoped there would be a Commonwealth Games legacy. And, you know, we very much, as a nation, we've highlighted sport as a way of dealing with some of our physical activity and health problems, and that's all very laudable. But the problem is, I think our monitoring methods are probably not good enough to capture whether or not these things have improved or not, and that's a real shame.
And you mentioned about the B grades for community and built environment and national policy, strategy and investment, and about how these grades are similar to the 2013 report card, but and talk about that continuing to be a positive. But can we maybe touch on the likes of obesity, sedentary behaviour and overall physical activity? Can we just drill down a little bit into these grades? You know, what is it you're actually reporting? What have you found, or which other reports have you quoted, and what are the kind of statistics that make these grades so alarming?
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, if we start with, I suppose, the two headline grades for most of the countries doing report cards are, firstly, the overall level of physical activity and how that compares to the recommended minimum amounts of physical activity. So if we start there, again, it may be surprising to your listeners and maybe to you that we don't do good measurement of that indicator in children. We do pretty good measure in adolescents. So we have a thing called the Health Behaviour of School Age Children Survey in Scotland, which is a survey of adolescents, and that does good measurement of that. So we have good data for 11 to 15 year olds, but under the age of 11, we actually don't have an adequate measure of that in Scotland, which is a real shame, and it's one of the things we're highlighting in the report card. But for the age groups where we do have decent measures, so for the 11 to 15 year olds, we have only around 21% of boys and only around 15% of girls meeting the activity recommendation, which is at least, so it's a minimum of 60 minutes per day of physical activity of at least moderate intensity every day. Now, internationally, that's not too surprising. That's pretty similar, again, to most of the Western developed countries, but I don't think there's really much consolation there. You know, the figures are really quite alarming. So that's an F grade, because overall we've got less than 20% of adolescents meeting the recommendations. The figures, if we had them, I've really got to speculate, we don't have the data. If we had the figures for younger individuals, so for children, they would probably be slightly better, but maybe not all that much better. So for overall physical activity, the grade is F, really, because we've got well below that 20% threshold meeting the recommendations, and we can only speculate about younger age groups, unfortunately. But that's very much a message from the report card that we should be doing these measures in younger children as well, right down to preschool children. And then for sedentary behaviour, sedentary behaviour really is two sorts of behaviours, one of which we don't measure in Scotland. In fact, most countries don't measure it, and that's what I'm doing at the moment, what you may be doing at the moment, and that's sitting. So sitting down, believe it or not, is now actually seen as a health behaviour. You know, we spend way too much time sitting down, and that's really harmful in terms of future risk of diabetes, of a number of cancers, and obesity, and cardiovascular disease. So just time spent sitting has become recognised as a health behaviour in the past few years. Now, we don't measure that in Scotland, and we don't actually have a very well-established recommendation for it at the moment. So although it's important, we couldn't grade it. What we grade is something which is a really long-standing recommendation in Scotland and internationally, and that is the amount of time that children and adolescents spend in front of screens, so screen time. And that's all the recreational screen time, so that wouldn't include academic time in school or at home doing homework. So this is essentially watching TV, social media, surfing the internet, electronic gaming, and so on. And the long-standing recommendation there is that children and adolescents should spend no more than the equivalent of 2 hours per day doing that, or 14 hours per week doing those activities. And it may not surprise you to hear that the figures are way above that. They're fairly complicated depending on whether it's boys or girls and depending on the age group, but certainly on average, Scottish children, and particularly Scottish adolescents, are doing way more than that, especially at weekends, but also on weekdays as well. The figures are really quite stark and quite alarming. Again, but I don't think it's any consolation, the figure's not really much worse than, say, the US or Canada, but I don't think there's a lot of consolation to be drawn there. This seems to be a pretty common thing right across the Western developed world. So that was graded F as well, because, again, it seems quite clear that less than 20% of the Scottish child and adolescent population is meeting that recommendation of no more than 2 hours per day or 14 hours per week in recreational screen time.
John, we're just coming to the end of the show, and I wonder, you know, most listeners to Radio Edutalk are teachers, practicing teachers, and I know we've got the website www.activehealthykidsscotland.co.uk, and I'm wondering, you know, if teachers want to find out more about the report and you know, maybe dig deeper into the kind of longer version of it, is that the place to go, and how might, you know, what areas of the report do you think teachers and head teachers should really be mostly drawn to, and in what way might they be able to get involved in the coming years, you know, according to your plans as they stand?
Yes, so you're quite right about the website, and I was going to mention it if you didn't, so thanks for mentioning it. I won't say it again, but the activehealthykidsscotland.co.uk website, if anyone just searches that, they'll find that. So there's much fuller information than I've been able to give here. The report card itself is there and can be downloaded. If people want hard copies, there's a way of ordering those from the website as well, so we send those out free in Scotland. So there's lots more information from the website. If there are two kind of take-home messages, I think for teachers in particular, I think the first one would be, for me, drawing on the lessons of the card. So going back to what I was saying about the low levels of activity and the very high levels of screen time, we have really very good research evidence now. Some of it's quite recent, but we have really good research evidence that that lifestyle isn't just bad for health, it's also very bad for academic attainment, especially in adolescents. So particularly from about age 11 onwards, spending that amount of time in front of a screen is very harmful academically. And spending such low amounts of time in activity actually is very harmful academically. We know that activity is good for the brain, for example, so that there's a mechanism which helps explain that. So in terms of take-home messages for teachers, I think that the lessons from the report card are very bad in terms of educational outcomes, first of all, as well as in terms of health outcomes. So sadly, that's more bad news. If I maybe just finish with a take-home that might be slightly more positive, and we did try to find a positive amongst all the negatives in the report card, the theme of the report card this year was active and outdoor play. The reason for that being that it seems a very promising way, particularly for younger children, certainly primary school and preschool children, it seems a very promising way of promoting physical activity and getting the kind of health benefits and the academic benefits that we'd expect that would derive from having a more active population. So play is something that we've highlighted because it's not really been tried very much, to be frank, in Scotland or in other countries. It's been very much a Cinderella. You know, we've put a lot of our effort into physical education, active commuting, what children do in terms of sport at school, what they do in terms of their break time at school. So there's been a lot of public policy effort and effort among practitioners and teachers to address those issues, and that's all fine. But I think overall things have not really works in a nutshell. So I think we need to be looking at one or two other things we haven't tried yet, and that's one of the take-home messages from the card, is that active and outdoor play really seems to be a very good way of getting children much more active. Children are much more active when they're outdoors than indoors, and if they become more active, then it would be pretty clear we'd have higher grades, and if we have higher grades in future cards, we'd have a healthier population, and we should have a more successful nation in terms of academic outcomes as well.
John, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on Radio EduTalk. It's been absolutely fascinating, and I'll make sure that next to the podcast or just underneath the audio player button, we'll have lots of links to the various parts of the Active Healthy Kids Scotland website. So thanks again and best wishes.